Welcome once again to Good Hope Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. This time we're doing a study through the book of James. A study through the book of James. And the section that we're in right now is chapter 1. First broadcast was last week. This is the second. But our section in verses 1 through 12, we've entitled that Dealing with Trial. Dealing with Trial. And what we're doing tonight is we're going to focus on verse 5 of the book of James chapter 1. Now, what we did last week is we give you a formula for trial last week. And if you'd like a copy of that radio broadcast, you can write to us at the address that I'll give you at the end of our radio broadcast this evening. And you write to us and then we'll send you a free copy. So I don't want to try to go back and cover that because I've got too much to cover tonight. So what we're going to look at in verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And we're going to title the message this evening, Asking for Wisdom. Asking for Wisdom. Now, when we really need to ask for wisdom, you got to keep in context where this statement is that. We're talking about trials. Back up in verse 2, it says, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations. And the idea of that is not an enticement to sin, but rather it is tribulations or trials that we face in this life. So that's the context that verse 5 is in. We are to ask God for wisdom whenever we're facing different tribulations. Now, the reason why we need to do that is because we often, if we're not careful, when tribulations and trials comes into our lives, and they will come, they take many different forms. I think the problem is many times people think if they're saved or that they are exempt from tribulations and trials in our life. And you study the Scriptures, you'll clearly see that that's not true. Paul went through tribulations in this life. All the apostles did. By going to the Old Testament, the saints of God there did also. We're not promised that we will never face tribulations or hardships or trials. Matter of fact, we live in a time when there's wars and rumors of wars and famines and sickness and disease and pestilence, and God's people face those things also. But when we face those times, we have some place we can go. We have a God that we can go to for strengthening and for help in time of need. Matter of fact, He bids us to in the book of Hebrews chapter 4. He says tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace, so that we can obtain help in time of need. Aren't you glad that we have an all-powerful, all-knowing God that we can go to when trials come? Well, here it says that when trial comes, it says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. So we need to ask for wisdom. Ask of God wisdom whenever we go through a trial. Now, the reason why we need to do that soon whenever the trial hits, is because we'll have a tendency to act unwisely whenever we face a trial. And I'm sure you've done it before. Maybe something happened in your life and you didn't understand it. You didn't understand why it happened. Perhaps you couldn't see any good purpose in it whatsoever, but nevertheless it happened, and then you responded to it in anger, and in anger against God. There's people that get angry at God whenever tribulations come. One reason they get angry is because maybe they've been taught that you're not going to have any problems in this life. The Bible doesn't teach that. Matter of fact, Jesus taught His disciples in John 16 and verse 33 that in this world ye will have tribulation. So there is no such promise in this life that God's people will not face hard times. As a matter of fact, Acts 14 and verse 22 says that through much tribulation, we will enter into the kingdom of God. And if you look at the scriptures, you'll see Paul went through many trials and tribulations, and you'll see the apostles did, and you'll see the churches did. They went through persecution. You study church history, you'll see that. But how will we respond to them? You see, as I said, we have a place to go to in time of trial, and we go to our God. Psalms 46 says that our God is a very present help in time of trouble. So here in the book of James, it says we need to go to Him, and we ask for wisdom. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. We need to ask God to help us to act wisely in the trial. We want to act in such a way as to bring glory and honor and praise to our God in a trial. Some of the greatest service to God and the greatest examples of faithfulness to God is shown by saints that are going through a trial. I've seen some saints that had sicknesses and they were suffering and they were hurting, and I've seen their faithfulness and I've seen them praise the Lord and I've seen them continue to be faithful to their God and speak for their God in their trial, and they brought much glory to the Lord's name. Well, we need to ask of God wisdom whenever we face such times. So, number one, we will act correctly, we'll act wisely. Instead of acting in anger or bitterness and in drifting away from God. I've seen that happen too, have you not? Sometimes you will see people that will face a trial, a tribulation, and then they will just absolutely become so angry and become so bitter against God that they will drift away from Him. Seen it happen many times. Maybe you've done it yourself. Maybe you just so happened to tune in tonight to the broadcast and you're actually still bitter over something that happened in your life, a tribulation or a trial. Well, the bad thing about that is you're drifting away from your power source. Power source in tribulation, Jesus. Your power source is your God. He's able to strengthen. He's able to give grace to bear a trial. He's able to give you wisdom to know what to do. But you have to ask for wisdom. You have to ask for it. And the Bible says that one of the things that separates many times when tribulation comes is one of the things that will separate a genuine faith from only a profession is that a genuine faith will survive the heat of a trial. In the book of Luke chapter 8, when it talks of the parable of the sower, it describes a people that receive the word on a rock, a seed that goes upon a rock, and it grows up. But what happens whenever tribulation comes, the heat of tribulation comes, they just wither away. But on the other hand, when someone has a true faith in Christ and it's rooted in their heart, when tribulation comes, it stands the test. One of the things that shows a genuine faith many times is it's able to stand the test of a trial. It says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 7 that the trial of our faith is more precious than of gold. You know how you purify gold? They use heat to do it. They use fire to do it. And if something's just a rock and is not really gold, it'll just burn it up. But when something is pure gold, all the heat does is melts away the dross and shows it to be pure gold. Well, a genuine faith will stand the test of trial. But sometimes even when you have a genuine faith, you don't respond to the trial as you should. You respond in anger or bitterness or drifting. Well, we need to ask of God. That's the entitlement of our broadcast this evening. Ask of God wisdom. And number one, we need to ask Him wisdom to act correctly. Wisdom not to drift. Wisdom to see that God has a purpose. Now, we don't necessarily know what the purpose for a trial is, but we need to ask for wisdom to know in our hearts that there's a purpose for every trial. Every tribulation that's allowed or permitted into the lives of His children, you know that there is a purpose of God for it. You say, well, Jeff, how do we know that? Well, that is indeed the promise of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. One of the great texts. I'm so glad it's in the Bible. I couldn't handle a lot of things if I didn't know that Romans 8, 28 is true. It says this, for we know. Now, it doesn't say we think. We know. And we need to ask for wisdom to grab a hold of that. And when trials come, for we know that all things work together for the good. They all work together for the good. Now, that in and of itself, it might not seem for the good. It might seem the most horrible tragedy in the world. But we know that all things work together. Once it's mixed together and put together, and once it comes to its end, then it'll have a good purpose. There's always a purpose, a good purpose for what God permits in the life of His children. We know that all things work together for the good to them that love God. Now, this is not true of everybody, but it's true of those that love God. You don't love God unless you've trusted His Son, the Lord Jesus. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And that's true of everyone that's saved. So, Lord, we need to ask Him to give us wisdom. Wisdom to trust Romans 8:28. See, you might know Romans 8:28, but wisdom is putting your trust in it, putting your confidence in it. That is true. Getting it down in your heart and leaning on it. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. When things happen in your life that you don't understand, you have two options. Number one, you can trust God's promise, trust God's word, or you can lean to your understanding. And when you lean to your understanding is when you drift. It's when situations overwhelm you and situations overcome you. You can either lean or you can trust. And you need to trust and you need to ask for wisdom. That's what we're talking about tonight in the broadcast. God, give me wisdom to respond to this situation as the Bible would have me respond. Help me to trust your promise. Help me to trust your purpose until I know what it is. Lord, give me wisdom to act correctly. Help me not to react in an unwise way, in an unwise manner. Lord, give me the wisdom to act in such a way as to bring glory and praise and honor to your name. You need the wisdom to do that. Some of the greatest service ever rendered to our King have been rendered by saints who were going through a great time of trial, yet they responded to their trial wisely. Remember Job. Whenever he lost his wealth and lost his sons and daughters, remember his response. Remember what his response was. Naked came I from my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. The Lord gave. The Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He acted correctly. He responded to his trial in wisdom initially. And folks, how many people have been lifted up and encouraged by the example of Job? How many people have seen his response and have been encouraged to continue on in their trial? Job's trials had a purpose. And the purpose of Job's trials was to be a minister to those who are going through times of suffering. He has been the minister to suffering saints. But God gave him the wisdom in the beginning to act correctly. If you read on in the book, he drifted somewhat and became very discouraged. But his initial response was a wise response. He knew God had a purpose, and he responded to his trials correctly. Well, we ask of God for that wisdom. That wisdom comes forth from Him. So in a trial, we must ask for it. Not only the wisdom to act correctly, but also the wisdom to know that God has a purpose. And I don't think it's wrong for us to ask, perhaps, if the Master would reveal the purpose for the trial. Now, like I said, many times we'll see the purpose. Many times it might be multiple purposes. But we ask for God to give us wisdom to know the purpose. The Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 had a thorn in his flesh. But he knew the purpose of that thorn. It says, lest he should be exalted above measure because of the abundance of revelations that he had. He had such a knowledge and such a revelations from God that would be prone to make a man prideful. But lest he would become prideful, God gave him a thorn in his flesh that would keep him humble. And he asked God to take it away three times, but instead of taking it away, he gave him grace to hold up under it. And he also gave him the reason why it was for, or the purpose for which it was for. It was given to keep him humble. There are some things that's happened in my life that I never understood the purpose for. But when time went on and I looked at it, I seen God's purpose. And I seen that He knew what He was doing all along. And I seen that God's good purpose was what was best. Once I got more wisdom, once I got more knowledge of the situation, and God revealed, hey, Jeff, now here's why I done this thing in your life. Well, folks, I think we need to ask God that we respond correctly, but I think we need to also ask God for wisdom to see the purpose. And until we see the purpose, we might, like I said, not know till we get there the full purpose of why things happen. But until we see the purpose, we need to trust God. But also we need to ask God, if it be His will, Lord, what's the purpose for this thing? I can see no reason for this thing. Well, often God will in time reveal what it is. But until He does, we have to trust Him. So we ask for wisdom. And that's what I'm stressing in tonight's broadcast. We ask for wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom to act correctly, to respond correctly in this trial. Wisdom to act as Job or as Paul. We ask for wisdom to trust His purpose. Ask for wisdom to trust His purpose and perhaps to see the purpose why God has permitted. Lord, help me to see Your reasoning for this thing, if it be Thy will. But until You do reveal the purpose, I want to trust that You have a good reason for it. Well, it says we're to ask not only for wisdom, but it says we're to ask in faith, not wavering. To waver is to doubt. I mean, the reason why Simon Peter sank when he got out of the boat on the Sea of Galilee is he wavered. You see, whenever Jesus was walking on the water to come to His disciples on the Sea of Galilee. They were in the midst of a storm and they looked and Jesus was coming on the water. Simon Peter requested that he get out of the boat and be allowed to come to Jesus. And Jesus said, come, come. You know, it's perfectly safe for him to come. He had a promise there from Jesus. Come. It's all right to come if Jesus said to come. It was perfectly safe to come, even in the storm. You know what was great? Simon Peter got out of the vessel and he stood on the water. There was a man that stood on the water in the midst of the storm with the promise that Jesus gave him. And that's the important thing. God is able to give you the ability to stand in the midst of the storm if you'll look to Him and you'll trust His promises. You'll have strength to be able to stand on the water in the midst of the storm. Oh, but if you doubt, and you waver, and you begin to doubt God's promises, and then take your eyes off Him and His Word and His truth, then what happens is you'll sink. And that's what happened to Simon Peter. That's what wavering does. It says if we lack wisdom in trial, in hard times, ask of God and He'll give it to you. He'll give you wisdom to act correctly. Often He'll reveal the purpose for the reason why He's allowing it. Or He'll give you the blessing of being able to trust His promise that it is for a good purpose, even when we don't know what it is. We ask for wisdom. But He says, you ask in faith. Because see, the Lord has promised to give this. See, this is a promise. And for when you have a scripture that gives you a promise, you can trust it. He said, if you waver, of course, a waver is to doubt. Have you ever noticed it? Have you ever been in a time of trial and you doubted God's good purpose? Have you ever been in a trial and you doubted the teaching of Romans 8:28? Doubted that God was with you in it and all of these different things? What happened? Well, when you waver, when you doubt, you drift and you sink. So, He says, ask in faith. You're in a trial, ask for wisdom. And to ask in faith, because God will give you the strength and God will give you the ability to act wisely. And that's what we need. To act in such a way as to bring glory and honor unto Him. So it says in the text in the book of James that if you ask and you're wavering between doubt and faith, you will not receive anything of the Lord. You won't receive the grace that you need, the strength that you need when you waver, the wisdom that you need whenever you waver. So it goes on to say a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, so we can't be double-minded. And sometimes you can see that in yourself. You'll waver between trusting God and doubting God. Can't do that. You got to trust Him. Trust that the trial's for a purpose. Trust that He has a good purpose for what He permits in the life of His children. Trust that it's going to work together for good. Trust that He is with you. And lean not to your own understanding. And my friend, when that happens, you'll be able to stand right in the midst of the storm. You'll be like Job to other people. They'll be able to look at you and say, hey, I want to respond that way when trials come into my life. And what an example you'll be for him. But you have to ask of God and not waver. Trust in Him. Don't doubt His promise. Trust in Him. Well, he goes on in the text to give us two examples, two classes of people in trial and how they are to respond. Really, I think he gives us two examples here of how we are to respond in trial. Notice what it says in James chapter 1. And notice what it says in verse 9. It says, let the brother of low degree rejoice that he is exalted. Now, this is talking about the poor. In a church, sometimes you have people in your church that are poor. And you know, poor people face times of trial. They face times of difficulty, not having enough. And at this day and time, they didn't have perhaps enough to eat. Maybe they were facing a trial where they're unable to pay their bills. It says, let the brother of low degree, or not rich, rejoice in that he is exalted. You say, well, how's a poor man exalted? Well, they're exalted when they're saved. Here's a man that might be poor and not have a lot and not have as much as other people and don't have that nice house, a nice car, a nice big bank account. But he says, he tells him in that trial of having need, in that trial of having need, he's to rejoice because he's exalted. Talking about his salvation. A person might not have a whole lot of worldly things. And they might not have a lot of possessions and all these other things. But they can rejoice in their trial because they're exalted in Christ Jesus. They have a home in heaven. They have their sins paid for. They've been declared righteous. They have victory over death. The rich people in this world is the ones that knows Christ. So in their trial of hardship, as far as having a lot, or maybe they don't have enough to eat the next meal, they can still rejoice in the fact that they know Jesus. They can still rejoice in the riches that they have in Christ. Luke 16, when it tells us about the rich man and Lazarus, you know who the rich man was? The rich man was Lazarus, because when he died, he went to paradise. You see, the rich people in the world are those that know Christ. So when we're going through trial of hardships, we can still rejoice in that. See, that's responding wisely. I may have lost my job, but I haven't lost my salvation. I got a home in heaven. I got true riches. Jesus, 2 Corinthians 8:9, says he was rich, but he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Rich people are the ones that have everlasting life. So he uses them as an example of responding wisely in trial. They rejoice because they're exalted. Verse 10 says the rich, talking about the rich, in that he is made low. Sometimes when rich people, especially back in the days of Christ and in the days of the early church, sometimes they would make professions of faith in Jesus. And because of that, they would receive such persecution that they'd lose their riches. So they are, that would be a great trial. I know in the scripture, Joseph of Arimathea, he was a rich man, the one that begged for the body of Jesus. And sometimes when people would be rich and they would identify themselves with Jesus and his people, they'd lose their earthly riches. But here it says they are, instead of complaining, they are to act wisely in what way? They are to rejoice because they're made low. They might have been made low as far as their social status, but it was a blessing in being made low because now they are beneficiaries of the kingdom of heaven. Now they have a home in the Father's house. They have riches that will not fade away. You see, earthly riches will, you don't take those with you. People live their entire life for earthly and worldly things. And then when they come to the end of their days, they die and they leave all their riches behind. So here he's just using an illustration. Sometimes rich people will be made low. And they rejoice in that because that humbling is what led to them knowing Christ. And even if they are made low and lose their riches, earthly riches, yet they do have their heavenly riches. Matthew 16 says, what is the profit of man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? So here's just two illustrations of the poor and the rich. And they face times of tribulation. Sometimes the poor man, though he's poor, he can praise God for being exalted in Jesus. And the rich man can praise God even when he's made low, because he has the salvation. He has that which will last forever. The earthly riches is just like the grass. When the sun comes up and withers it away, earthly riches does not go with you. He can rejoice in the riches that he has in Christ too. Well, verse 12 says, blessed is the man that endures temptation or tribulation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life which God hath promised to them that love him. Well, folks, the crown of life. We're going to get one day a new body. And I think that's what the crown of life actually is. I think it's a literal crown on your head. It possibly could be. But you know, the life that we have now is only temporary. We're going to get a crown of life one day. We're going to get a new body that will never die, that will last forever. We're going to put on a body. This old mortal body is going to put on incorruption. This old vile body is going to put on immortality. And folks, that's in the future for God's people. And we focus on our future in our trials. And we focus on the riches that we have in Christ in our trials. And that's what it means to ask for wisdom. Wisdom, O God, to act correctly. Wisdom, O God, to continue to be faithful and to know that you have a good purpose. Well, may God add His blessings to His Word. Again, if you'd like a free copy of this CD, write to us at Elizabeth Baptist Church, P.O. Box 214, Bancroft, West Virginia, 25011. Thanks for listening.